Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my room.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we're going to head right out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Go all the way out to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 94.1 Sports Radio WIP is where Mark Farzetta is waiting. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing. Just crossed the country on a wonderful flight, sitting in the middle seat, watching the Eagles get destroyed by your Seattle Seahawks. And lucky me, I get to come on the air and talk to you guys about it.
Yeah, lucky you for coming on and talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. But man, they are doing an excellent job this year. Of course, you know, standing atop along with the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, there is a huge race going on to be the NFC East champions. But yeah, let's talk about this, this game yesterday. I don't even know what to say. You know, I, to be honest with you, I thought that the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, I gave them the edge, just for playing at home. And of course, you know, Seattle being on the road. But, when I started to look at the time of possession, what the heck was going on? And, why couldn't things get started?
Yeah, that's something that Chip Kelly never pays attention to. And last year, his first year in Philadelphia, he referenced when he talked about how meaningless time of possession is. He talked about how when he was at Oregon, I forget what school he played against, but it was at one of the lesser colleges. And he said that they ran that the Oregon Ducks ran 83 plays or something like that. But the other team had possession for something like 40 minutes or whatever. And it said, and he said, all that proved was that they could stand around longer than we could. I mean, that's really how he looks at time of possession, as if it doesn't matter at all. Now, there are instances in the fourth quarter, if the Eagles are up, you'll see them go into their slowed down offense where they pretty much let the seconds tick off the clock. But really, throughout the course of a game, a close game as this game was throughout most of it, he doesn't pay attention at all to clock management. Let's put it that way. It's all about running as many plays as possible. And I think he only ran about 40 plays yesterday, which just might be an all-time low in the season and a half plus Chip Kelly's been in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Coach Kelly is very confident as far as what he can do offensively. And he's not the type of coach that says, hey, I'm going to make an adjustment to you. You have to adjust to me. And sometimes that puts the team in a little bit of a conundrum, if you will. I mean, you know, like you're saying, it's almost like coach has no idea on what's going on around him, just as long as he tries to get what he wants to get done.
Well, it's a problem when you don't care about the time of possession. And I think Chip Kelly is a very good coach. I don't want to, you know, mislead you at all. But it's interesting when his defense has been playing well over the last couple of weeks. But when your offense turns the ball over so much, and I believe they lead the NFL in turnovers at this point, when they turn the ball over so much, you're only putting your defense back on the field faster, and your defense is the weaker link of the two units on this team. So what you're doing is you're taking your weakest part and exploiting it on your own. First, by your offense going on and off the field, and secondly, by your offense just giving the ball to the Seattle defense or any other NFL opponent's defense, and then in turn giving it to their offense and making the Eagles try to defend against it longer.
That's the voice of Mark Farzetta from the studios of 94.1 Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia. Mark, I know you haven't been back in town long, but what are you hearing from the Eagles fans and the faithful that listen to WIP? What is the state of the Eagles fan right now?
Well, I think a lot of us got spanked, to put it bluntly. They went into Green Bay a couple of weeks ago, and they got pounded by the Packers. And then the Eagles fans were hoping that there'd be a little bit of a reset button or maybe a second chance to show that this Eagles team can be an elite team. That's how you looked at this Seattle game, of course, going up against the defending Super Bowl champions. You think if you come out with a victory, then maybe you propel yourself into elite status. But second test, second failure by the Eagles. I think a lot of people have taken a nice dose of reality over the last 24 hours with how the Seahawks handled the Eagles yesterday.
Now, Mark, you get to see a majority of the teams in the NFL on a firsthand basis working for NBC Sports, the Sunday Night Football broadcast.
Yeah, Sean, me thoughts? And you, buddy. We make it happen.
Absolutely. All three of us, Sean Boyd down in the Bay Area and Oakland as well. And we worked the Seahawks game, the NFL kickoff in Seattle. And now, of course, you watch back the game yesterday from Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on the Seahawks and where they sit close to or atop the NFL?
The Seahawks, especially defensively, and this isn't breaking news, I mean, they're just on a different level than everybody else when it comes to their defense. I mean, you know what you're going to get week in and week out from the Seattle defense, no question about that. But the intangible really does come down to their quarterback in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson just has that ability to make that big play, and you saw it yesterday with the touchdown run. You saw it yesterday again with him being able to look across the field, finding a wide open Marshawn Lynch, who I'm pretty sure is still running with that football. He is just that intangible. You know what you're getting from the defense, but when it comes to the offense, yeah, Marshawn Lynch is going to run up the middle and it's going to take 20 guys to bring him down and all that stuff. But Russell Wilson really is that X factor where you have to be able to spy him properly, get to him, and bring him down. Connor Barwin spoke post-game yesterday in the Eagles' locker room about how he was spying him all day long, but just couldn't get him. I mean, a similar thing happened when the Eagles played the Panthers Monday night. You have a running quarterback, a guy like Cam Newton, who is not even close to 100%. Connor Barwin spying him. The Eagles, I believe, sacked him 9 times in that game. Connor Barwin coming up with 3.5, maybe 4 sacks in that game. He had a great game, but of course he was a lot less mobile than Russell Wilson was. I'm pretty sure that was the game plan going into yesterday, keeping a spy on Wilson, but the Eagles just couldn't stay with him.
Mark Vizetta joining us, here on the double. And Mark, there's a big game coming up this weekend. Of course, this is a rematch of Thanksgiving. Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles handily beating the Dallas Cowboys in the Big D. And of course, you know, having this game at home on NBC, I mean, I don't even have to tell you. I'm sure Mark Sanchez, you know, is primed and ready. He should have a better game. It seems like he's been on and off, and so this might be the on game for him coming up. I mean, is there any word on what's going on as far as preparation is concerned?
Well, as far as preparation, no. I mean, Chip Kelly does a great job of keeping these guys prepared. Look, Sanchez, when he faced Seattle 2 years ago, I believe it was, 3 years ago maybe, I think he had 9 completions against Seattle's defense. Yesterday he had 10. So he doesn't play Seattle well. On Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, he played very well. Now, something I've been telling Eagles fans here in Philadelphia to keep in mind is that the Eagles essentially had one more day of preparation than the Cowboys. The Cowboys were playing Sunday night against the Giants, a divisional opponent, a game that had some meaning to the Cowboys, of course. They didn't get home. They didn't get into Dallas probably until 5 o'clock the next morning. So then they had to go to bed, wake up. They had to do some prep for the Eagles, and they came out like a team that was extremely flat against the Eagles on Thanksgiving. The Eagles, on the other hand, came out with guns a-blazing. The Eagles came out playing that Sunday, playing against the Tennessee Titans in a 1 o'clock kickoff, a nothing game, a horrible opponent in the Titans, got to sleep in their own bed, full night's sleep, wake up Monday, get to the NovaCare complex where they practice and go over film, work out, do everything normal, and go to Dallas fresh as could be. The Cowboys essentially had one less day than the Eagles had to prepare. So I've been telling people here in Philly, relax a little bit about how the Eagles took care of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, 33-10. Just let the Eagles take care of business on their own turf come Sunday night. And it'll be a much different game. It'll be a closer game, but the Eagles will still win and, again, be alone atop the NFC East.
Now, shifting gears here, Mark, of course, there's another team in Philadelphia that's playing right now, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers, winners of 2.
Oh, God, no, don't ask me about the Sixers. 10. Please, let's just avoid the Sixers at all costs. Let's tank the Sixers conversation. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. What a young club, man. An awesome young club. They're taking their lumps, no doubt about it. If there's anybody who knows taking the lumps in Northern California, try being an Oakland Raiders fan, and we can shift gears to that if you'd like. But the Philadelphia 76ers, man, they're going through some growing pains. Again, of course, Michael Carter Williams doing some great things. Saturday night, they got a victory in overtime, 108-101 against the Pistons. Is there any momentum being built off of these two wins this past week?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. No, and if there is any momentum built, Sam Hinkie will promptly trade Michael Carter-Williams for 2 second-round picks from somebody or from some guy from Europe you've never heard of. There is no momentum. The only thing, and I really do feel bad for the players of the Sixers, because the players I'm talking about here, and the coach, Brett Brown, because these guys want to win. They're winners. And when you get to the NBA, odds are you were the best player on your team in high school, you're probably the best player on your team in college, and now you're in the NBA, and now you got to get used to losing. I mean, I feel bad for these guys because they want to win. They're athletes. And I know a lot of people just paint a broad brush all over it and just say, ah, who cares, they're making money. No, these guys want to win. These are athletes. 99.9% of athletes actually care about winning. Now, it's going to be tough for these guys because they have to try to get better personally, like Michael Carter-Williams, Nerlens Noel, was playing his first basketball competitively in over a year. These guys are trying to improve. KJ McDaniels, these guys are trying to improve. But it's hard to do that when you still just keep on losing. I mean, 2-18 on the season is absolutely embarrassing. Embarrassing, but it's the plan. And that, unfortunately, is just the way the cookie's going to crumble for the Sixers over the next couple of seasons.
Now, Mark, you're going to enjoy staying home, sleeping in your own bed this next weekend for Sunday Night Football. As mentioned, the Eagles host the Cowboys. That'll be fun for you.
Yeah, the Cowboys, of course, come in technically trailing the Eagles, even though they have the same records at 9-4, technically trailing the Eagles right now. Eagles have more divisional wins. They beat the Cowboys head-to-head already. So things are looking pretty good for the Eagles. They certainly control their own destiny with a little bit of a a little bit of leeway, so to speak. So, yeah, but I will enjoy sleeping in my own bed and picking up some cheesesteaks for my out-of-town friends.
And then, Mark, I know you're looking forward to the next week, going to sunny Arizona for a game that could be the NFC West title, Seahawks at Cardinals.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game. And I was on Friday night here in Philadelphia before the game, talking about how I can't hate the Seahawks because I respect them so much. And when we have the Seahawks on our Sunday night schedule, I'm excited for the game because I know I'm going to be seeing the top-notch defense. I know I'm going to be seeing a top-notch quarterback. And I know I'm going to be watching a running back that, like I said earlier, you need a whole army to try to bring down. They're a very exciting team to watch. Now, when it comes to Arizona, really don't care much about Arizona, just personally. Now, I love the fact that it's in Arizona, so I can sit by the pool, by the hotel, and just kind of hang out outside for a little bit, as opposed to sitting in 30-degree weather here in Philadelphia.
Mark Farzetta, thank you so much for your time. I know you got to run. Get on air at 94.1 Sports Radio WIP. Thanks for your time.
Will do, Sean and Sean. Always a pleasure, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks again, Mark.
Absolutely.
Mark Farzetta from Philadelphia, from the WIP studios. I think that might be our first call from a radio station to our show, Sean.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, Mark being the busy person that he is, and of course, that was a game that I thought was going to be a lot closer, to be honest with you. And I'm not surprised that the Seahawks won the game. Of course, they're the defending Super Bowl champions, and you know, they are starting to rev it up here going towards the end of the season here. Of course, got a little separation, thanks to my boys, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I thought that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to put up a little bit more of a fight. And, you know, Seattle imposed their will like no other. And so, hats off to Seattle. And, of course, Mark, you know, doing his thing. And, man, it was funny. He really didn't want to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, didn't he?
Not at all. And, really, I mean, I bet you the people in Philly don't even want to bother with them. I mean, why would you go spend your hard-earned dollar for a team that up until the last week had no wins on the season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're a young team and they're doing a lot of regrouping, and you know, that's just kind of the way things go when you have a collective bargaining agreement like the NBA. It's just, you know, tough. It's tough on the fan, you know, when you see that the whole revitalization. But they have a lot of young players that I think are going to do some great things in the next coming years. And so, you know, look out for Philadelphia. You pick up a player here or there and you can have an instant team. So when we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to catch up on a lot of things. Sean, there was a lot of games over the weekend. We can talk Pac-12 championships. We can talk about the Seahawks again. And, of course, out here in the North Bay, the Raiders taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna hop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd as we roll on with show 82. And Sean, it was a fantastic weekend for you, sir, getting to work not one, but two big games.
Yeah, you know, it all started out on Friday for the Pac-12 championships. And you know, Sean, it was a big weekend for me, you know, because for one, I get a chance to see my son's former team, the Oregon Ducks, take on, you know, the Arizona Wildcats. And this was supposed to be a game also that was, you know, supposed to be history in the makings. You know, the Arizona Wildcats pretty much had the Oregon Ducks numbers, so the prognosticators thought. But man, Oregon came out and just put a whooping on the Arizona Wildcats, 51-13. And man, you know, I couldn't begin to tell you how exciting, how proud, you know, it is for me to, you know, have a piece of that program, the Oregon Ducks, you know, a part of me with my son playing. And so, you know, got a chance to meet some cool people as well.
And one of those people you got to meet is a good friend of the program who's been on before and I met earlier in the football season at Washington State University, and that is one Yogi Roth.
You know, Yogi does some awesome things. I called Yogi when I got to the stadium and I said, hey, man, I'm here. I'm on the field right now. And, you know, I actually saw him in the parking garage, but, you know, he was doing one thing. I was getting ready to do another. And, you know, I knew that it was going to be fun once Yogi got there, but I didn't know how fun. And you know, for those of our listeners who remember Yogi being on the show, you know, he has done some great things as far as humanitarian is concerned. And so, you know, with Life in the Walk, of course, that's one of the things, of course, by Yogi being a producer and, you know, making films, doing all these things, being sidelined, broadcasting for Fox. You know, this guy does it all. So once Yogi and I started talking, the first thing that I asked him was, as I said, man, how are things going with Life in the Walk? And, you know, did anybody win in the donation, for the Oregon game? And Yogi points right down into the corner. He points to two lovely ladies over in the corner. And, you know, he says, come on, Sean, let's go. And he introduces me and, you know, introduced me to Stacy and Tani. And Stacy and Tani, if you are listening, which I hope you are, I mean, you guys are just a bundle of joy to actually get a chance to talk to and to be around. And these young ladies drove all the way down from Yakima, Washington, Sean Wally. Can you believe that? Yakima, Washington to support the Oregon Ducks down in Northern California.
Sean, you mean the Palm Springs of the Northwest?
The Palm Springs, yes, of Washington. For those of you who have never driven I-90 or going towards Eastern Washington, and when you drive through Yakima, I mean, there is the biggest sign that says, welcome to Yakima, the Palm Springs of Washington. And, you know, Stacy and Tani took to that, and you know, we just had a great conversation and understanding. And there's a reason why I'm saying this and reason why I'm talking about this, Sean, because, you know, having Yogi on the show and understanding his heart and understanding his vision, you really don't understand how things can come full circle. And so, you know, by Yogi doing the things that he's done, all because he wanted to spend more time walking with his father, and to have this great vision, and to have, you know, this thought of, man, I want to help out as many people as I possibly can, and I want to put it to film. For those of you who get a chance, go to yogiroth.com. And of course, he has some, the donations that I'm talking about is on Indiegogo, and Indiegogo.com will have, you know, these great packages put together. And Stacy and Tani took advantage of that, got a chance to be on the field, you know, sit in the seats that were designated by Yogi. And, you know, again, just meeting two great friends over the weekend and just understanding who they are and why they've done what they've done. You know, Sean Wally, we've got some awesome, awesome friends in the Double S Express.
You know, it's just amazing how random that is, that number one, somebody is going to go purchase and donate the on-field access, behind-the-scenes pass for the Pac-12 championship. And lo and behold, they're an hour down the road from me here in the Tri-Cities. And then you've got the Northwest ties, too, to know all about it. And now you're meeting these people, and they're getting to meet Yogi, and you're there talking to all of them and having a good time.
Yeah, you know, and for those... you know, a lot of people go through life without actually recognizing or acknowledging a miracle. And to me, that is a miracle, because somebody has put a vision together to do something better for the common good. And then to meet somebody outside of that full circle that's from your neck of the woods, the Pacific Northwest, actually know a few of the people that you know, is just amazing. And of course, Stacy and Tani, as Sean was saying, he's in the Tri-Cities and the Pasco, Richland, Kennewick area. And, you know, I'm sure that we're all going to get together. One of the biggest things that we have to do, Sean Wally, of course, is to get to Miners. And I know that you've been to Miners. I've been to Miners, man. And, you know, you talk about one of the awesome restaurants, the hidden jewels in American cuisine. I mean, you talk about big portions and hamburgers and French fries, you know, the whole fixings. Definitely, if you're in the Yakima area, you have to go to Miners.
It's a definite staple in Yakima for sure. Well known is Miners. Now, Sean, how about the game on the field? Total domination by Oregon. They avenged the two previous losses to the Wildcats.
And, you know, of course, this was headed by Marcus Mariota. You know, and he, you know, there's a big, big weekend coming up for him, and that's the Heisman Trophy ceremonies, and I believe this is something that he will definitely win. And he put a stamp on it. You know, I mean, 313 yards of passing. You know, he also had three rushing TDs, five touchdowns total. The biggest, biggest surprise was a young freshman, from the University of Oregon. And, you know, this young freshman, I mean, he's going to be something spectacular. And what I, and who I'm talking about is Darren Carrington, 7 receptions for 126 yards. This guy looked fearless, and you know, he was catching everything out of the sky and doing some great things. And once the momentum got going, you know, there was no stopping it. And, you know, 51-13, you know, that was Oregon saying that we deserve to have our place in the top four for the playoffs. And of course, we now know that they have that. But the way things got rolling, the second quarter, they scored 17, the third quarter, they scored 21. And by that time, you know, it was all she wrote. I don't even think Arizona scored in the first half, but you know, and the points that they did score in the second half, it was all academic then. But Oregon imposed their will on a team that is a, you know, is considered a good team. Let's face it. Arizona is 10-3, 7-2 in the Pac-12, but Oregon just looked to be the better team from beginning to end.
Now, Sean, how was the crowd there at Levi Stadium for the Pac-12 championship? You've been there many times for Niner games here this season in the NFL. I'm curious, were there more people there Friday versus a Niner game? Were they louder, quieter?
Well, you know, there wasn't as many people, and that's to be expected. This is my second Pac-12 championship. I did my first one in Palo Alto when it was at Stanford Stadium. And, you know, they don't pack the stadium, if they will. But I can tell you this, there's about 37,000-38,000 people there, and Oregon travels well. And, you know, whether there are a lot of people that are already planted in Northern California or all up and down the West Coast, Oregon travels well. The majority of those fans were Oregon Duck fans. The band, it goes without saying. I mean, the band was excellent, and the Duck was doing his thing. And, you know, but as far as the noise level, to answer your question, you know, hey, Autzen Stadium is known to blow the rooftops off, and those fans came with it. And, you know, it was pleasant, very pleasant to see and hear how loud it was in there for the Oregon Ducks.
Now, Marcus Mariota, how do you think the Ducks are going to fare in the future without one of the best players in the country?
Oh, they're going to do well. And of course, you know, we've talked a couple of times with, a former Oregon Duck and on the double guest and co-host David Massey. And so David Massey, knows that they have, already regrouped and reloaded as far as having their next predecessor or Mariota's next predecessor coming in. And so I think Oregon's going to have a bright future. And as I mentioned before, some of the young talent that they've had as far as wide receiver and running back, I think they're going to do an excellent job. Jeff Locke, came in at the end of the game for the Oregon Ducks, and that I believe that's who is going to be the next quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. I mean, didn't really have to do much. You know, he had the ball off a little bit, you know, get a couple of completions. But yeah, there's no problems with the Oregon Ducks. They're going to be in the top five again next year preseason. All they have to do is hold it.
Now, Sean, there was another big college football game this weekend, a place you know well, the Eastern Eagles hosting a playoff game against Montana.
Yeah, quarterfinals, the Eastern Eagles. Congratulations to EWU on winning against the Montana Grizzlies. This is the second time this year. And, of course, you know, Eastern doing an awesome job as well in the Big Sky and setting their mark. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the Eastern Eagles, they're after my heart year in and year out. Of course, for those of you who know, I had a couple of stints in college, one at Auburn University, of course, and I talk about that quite a bit. And of course, Eastern Washington. And so, you know, not too bad schools at all when you're talking about football, Sean Wally.
Yeah, they're doing good things for sure on that red turf. And Eastern's got another test in the next round of the playoffs one more time this coming Saturday back in Cheney, hosting, I believe, Illinois State.
And, you know, I don't really know too much about Illinois State. I just know that, you know, with, you know, Eastern is going to be prepared. They've gotten things off to a great start, and, you know, they just need to continue. And, you know, I believe that, you know, last year going to the semifinals and losing to Sam Houston State, I believe that's who it was last year. I believe that Eastern has, you know, figured this thing out. They have all the pieces in place, strong quarterback, great receivers, and a dynamic defense. And so they know how to make adjustments. And I believe that, you know, playing on the red turf definitely gave them an advantage this past week. And so let's see how it will go moving forward.
Yeah, big things once again for the Eastern Eagles. And you can catch the playoff game on Saturday online, ESPN3.com, as well as the Watch ESPN app on your cell phone. And we'll see if the Eagles can move forward one more time at home on Roos Field. Stay tuned as we come on back. We'll try to hook up with comedian Sydney Castillo right after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Vini discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. And Sean, in what used to be a battle of the Bay, a little bit further apart now, the Niners took on your Oakland Raiders.
Wow. You know, that was it was a great game to be a part of yesterday. And, you know, one of the things that I took from it, you know, from, you know, pregame, you know, being on the field and getting the chance to shake hands and do fist bumps with the Raider Nation, you know, it was you can tell that it was a different feel inside O.co. And it was a playoff atmosphere, but it felt like the Raiders were the team that was, you know, vying for a playoff position. And as the game went on and as the game started, I mean, we all know for those who are watching the game, down here in the lower southwestern region that, you know, the Raiders came to play, and it was a very exciting game. Of course, you know, with Derek Carr just putting up tremendous, tremendous numbers, throwing 254 yards and 3 TDs. The biggest surprise was Michael Rivera, the tight end for the Raiders, with 7 receptions and 109 yards and a touchdown. But what that did was that started that momentum to where, you know, the Raider Nation crowd for the first time in a long time had something, Sean Wally, to be proud and to be excited about. You know, what I'm hearing over it's amazing listening to some of the local radio stations. You know, for about a week ago, we had talked, or maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, we had talked about how excited the San Francisco 49ers media and faithful were as far as their positioning was concerned. And, you know, after coming off of a victory and, you know, looking forward to ending the season and making this big rush, what a difference 2 weeks make, Sean Wally, because, you know, this game yesterday looked like a San Francisco 49er team that just cashed it in. You know, they were punching them out. They were shocked and they couldn't respond from it. And, you know, the biggest thing, Sean, is that this is something that I've been talking about all year. You know, I mentioned this in the preseason as far as the San Francisco 49ers team lack of scoring. And it was kind of brushed off in the beginning as far as, hey, this is something that it's just preseason. Don't worry about it. And as the years went on, they still had that problem. And now it's coming to fruition to where, you know, the sky has definitely fallen on a certain part of the Bay across the Bay Bridge in San Francisco.
It all boils down to continuity. And the San Francisco Santa Clara 49ers don't have that from the front office on down.
Yeah, and it's becoming more glaring as, you know, each week. We've talked about the disgruntledness of Jed York and Trent Baalke and their displeasures of Jim Harbaugh. And this is something that we brought up midway through the season. And when I brought it up earlier, you know, some people were thinking, oh, man, this is just a fallacy. This can't be when you have a football head coach in Jim Harbaugh that's led his team to 3 straight NFC championships and a Super Bowl appearance. But the front office is not happy the way things are being handled. And it's gotten to a point, and we've talked about this week after week as far as the locker room issues with the San Francisco 49ers, how this could be something that could, you know, be detrimental to them. And yes, all of these things right now have come home to roost with the 49ers. And now the fans and everybody act like it's a surprise when it's been talked about. It's been documented. And now, you know, here the San Francisco 49ers are at 7-6, looking 2 games up against your Seattle Seahawks, Sean Wally. And there's a, what was going to be a big game this weekend is now going to be somewhat of a, we'll just wait and see what happens. And so, you know, it's amazing the difference that 2 weeks makes in a football season.
It's funny to me how talking to people today about the NFL action over the weekend, talking about the Raider victory, the Niner loss, people are saying, oh, the Niners are going to be mad. They're going to come in here and take it to the Seahawks. Seriously? What what games are you watching that lead you to believe the Niners can do anything close to that right now? Look at Las Vegas. Some of the books have Seattle already at a double-digit 10-point advantage.
Yeah, you know, and you know, yesterday's game did not help the San Francisco 49ers. And again, some of these problems that are going on I can't say that they can easily be fixed, but then again, you know, there are things that if the organization can focus just a little bit, they can make things better. Right now, do I see them making the playoffs? There's no way in the world. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are sitting 1 game up on the Seattle Seahawks, and of course the Seahawks are chomping at the bit at the chance to play in a couple of weeks against the Cardinals. So, you know, that should be a highlighted game moving forward. But what's going on in San Francisco is not anything new. I mean, that's one of the things that I didn't get a chance to talk with Mark Barzetta about as far as some of the locker room issues with the Eagles. But this is going on around the NFL. Of course, Sean, you know this up in Seattle, but it looks like Seattle has definitely put themselves in the back on track as far as making this run into the playoffs and back to the Super Bowl. But what's happening with Colin Kaepernick is, you know, nothing short of devastating. I mean, you're talking about a young man who the world was his oyster a couple of years ago, taking over for Alex Smith. And that was the reason why Alex Smith was exited out of San Francisco. And, you know, now, and then you're looking at Colin Kaepernick having a great past year and a half. And, you know, to come to now to where he just looks like he's shell-shocked. He looks like he's disenchanted. And it just looks bad. I mean, it's a trickle down all the way, you know, from the top brass to the players. And it's sad. It's really sad to watch.
Is it too early to say that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick?
For me, no. But it depends on who you're talking, who you talk to. Most people will say, well, you know, you have to be crazy. Colin Kaepernick is definitely the better quarterback. The reason why is because of his body of work. I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship over the past 2 years. So he has a greater body of work. But when you look at the skill set and you look at, you know, pound for pound, you know, what each quarterback can do and what they're doing with their respective teams, I mean, how can you not say that Derek Carr doesn't have all the intangibles? This young man was doing some incredible things. I think he hit 14 passes in a row at some point from the beginning of the third quarter to the beginning of the fourth quarter. And he is a very headsy person. He knows what he can do. Now, you know, Colin Kaepernick, we all know his athleticism. We all know that, you know, he can make things happen. But, you know, part of this can be, you know, a part of the problem can be pointed to maybe the offensive coordinator. And San Francisco 49er fans have issued their concern on Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator as well. And so, you know, it's just a combination of a lot. But again, if you ask me, quarterback to quarterback, which one is better? Even though he's a rookie, I would say Derek Carr. And let's face it, Derek Carr has a more tremendous upside to him as well.
Give us a call if you want to talk Raiders, 49ers, Seahawks, Hot Stove League in baseball. Ask questions, get something off your chest. 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. The former players and famous folk that you ran into all over O.co.
Yeah, so it was a who's who of, you know, players and former players. I was a kid in the candy store, if you will. You know, I got a chance to talk with current Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin and former Seattle Mariners manager Bob Melvin, and we got a chance to talk the A's. We got a chance to get I had a chance to talk with him about what's going on and, you know, the upcoming season. Also got a chance to talk with him about, you know, his time in Seattle, you know, time that he was pretty fond of. Of course, he admitted that he had one good year and then things just kind of fell apart. We all know that as Mariner fans, how that happened. But, you know, got a chance to be around him, got a chance to talk with former War Eagle alum Bo Jackson. And so that was good to see him. Of course, Ronnie Lott was there, and Joe Montana was in attendance. So, you know, it was a who's who of people and former stars. Biggest thing though, Sean, is what I was really excited about was former University of Washington running back. I mean, he's hardly ever at the games. He's doing a great deal in the ministry, but Napoleon Kaufman was at the game. And so I was really excited, about Napoleon Kaufman being there. And so it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to get a chance to, you know, see these players and, you know, it was a big reunion all around.
Now, Sean, that's part of the excitement of working games. I know it is for me. I'm sure it is for you as well, that you never know.
Yeah, you know, at the Oakland Raiders games, I mean, anybody can pop in. You know, Ice Cube pops in from time to time. And of course, Mike Rivera, he's kind of an upcoming superstar on the Oakland Raiders, a tight end that I was talking about earlier. His sister is on the hit show Glee, and so she'll pop in, you know, here and there. And so, yeah, I mean, you just never know who's going to be there at the games. And so, you know, it's a lot of fun. Of course, you know as well as I do, Sean, we're there to do a job. We're there to paint the picture and put a perspective to our viewers for the major networks. And so, you know, yeah, it is very, very fun and very exciting. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're still going to open up the phone lines at 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. Have any questions? Give us a call on the double with the Double S Express.
Who likes likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside yours truly, Sean Boyd, show number 82. Had guest number one, Mark Farzetta, with 94.1 WIP in Philadelphia on as the first guest. And Sean, there's some NBA action going on, man, that I wanted to talk about. And of course, I know this is something that that is tough for you to talk about, especially with the no team up in the, and I won't say no team up in the Pacific Northwest because that would be disrespectful to the Portland Trail Blazers, but none in Seattle. But man, I have to send a shout out to the Golden State Warriors, man, winners of 13 in a row. And you talk about some exciting times in Northern California. Man, the Golden State Warriors are taking care of business.
Well, I do know a couple things about those Warriors, and one is that they have former Washington State Cougar great Klay Thompson. He's doing great things, and they rewarded him with a big contract in the offseason.
Attaboy, I knew you would tie in the Pacific Northwest in some way, shape, or form. And man, you're right. Klay Thompson is, you know, after being paid huge dividends early in the season, he is panning out. And, you know, you talk about a team that has come together with their cohesion. Of course, David Lee being out with an injury, and that's going to be an interesting cog once he gets himself healthy. How do they put him back into the lineup? But I mean, you know, a healthy Andrew Bogut at center, you can't go wrong there. They won tonight 102-86 against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are definitely, you know, you talk about a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, the Minnesota Timberwolves are really close to that. But man, again, talking about the Golden State Warriors, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, Andrew Bogut, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. I mean, they are doing an awesome job, and I can't leave out the fact that Steve Kerr has really got this team clicking. And to be honest with you, Sean, I thought that with the transition from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr, that would, you know, put a hiccup in things. But these Warriors are, you know, they're business as usual with probably one of the deeper benches in the NBA.
Now, with NBA and you being in the Sacramento area, the team closest to you, what is going on at Arco Arena? Or what used to be Arco Arena, I should say.
Yeah, well, at the Sleep Train, man, I mean, the Sacramento Kings are, you know, they're without Marcus Boogie Cousins. And so, you know, the injury, it seems like it is a little bit deeper than the organization thought. He's going to be out for you know, it sounds like till January. And I don't want to be quoted on that actually, because, you know, these are just some of the murmurs that are coming out. But since his injury, they have had a tough time. And right now they're losing in the second quarter to the Utah Jazz 39-36. But, you know, Sacramento got off to a great start this season. And right now they're teetering at about 500. And, you know, which is actually a good vibe in Sacramento because, you know, as you know, there is an arena being built downtown. And so they want as much momentum as possible going forward so that they put a good product on the court.
Now, Sean, we didn't have a ton of time between ourselves to discuss what is going on with the Seattle Seahawks, the resurgent Seattle Seahawks. What is your take on how this team has gone from 3-3 to their current record now, winners of 6 of 7?
You know, I just think it's a matter of, you know, having a strong leadership. And again, we're talking about how, you know, what a lack of leadership can do here in Northern California in San Francisco. But, you know, Seattle has a strong group of leadership from the top all the way down to the field with Russell Wilson. And, you know, just I believe that Seattle has it down. They know what they need to do. You know, they're tired of all of the in-house bickerings, if you will, you know, some of the speculations with Marshawn Lynch and, you know, of course, some of the offseason moves that were made that you kind of scratched your head a little bit and wondering why they did what they did. But at the same time, Seattle is primed and ready now to take on the Arizona Cardinals. And you know, and Sean, I don't want to overlook the San Francisco 49ers because, you know, again, with all things said, they still have a talented roster. Their roster still, you know, touts probably some of the best receivers in the biz, meaning in the San Francisco 49ers. They just haven't been able to put it together. And, you know, if San Francisco had an ounce of pride, they would go up to CenturyLink Field. I'm sorry. They would go up to CenturyLink Field and play their hearts out. And, you know, but again, the Seattle Seahawks are doing a phenomenal job. Pete Carroll leading this team and making that run.
And here's a big reason why: the return to dominance of the best defense in the NFL. Against the Arizona Cardinals a few weeks ago, they allowed 204 yards, which is awesome by NFL standards. 2 weeks ago, the San Francisco 49ers, Thanksgiving night, Seattle gave up 164 yards to those Niners at Levi Stadium. Yesterday, in Philadelphia, could it get any better for Seattle? They only gave up 139 yards to the vaunted Philly offense and Chip Kelly's system.
Yeah, the Legion of Boom, is definitely, you know, putting themselves in a great position. And as you were mentioning, of course, against the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers, what are the odds that they would win both games 19-3? You know, that just says that, you know, Seattle's defense is stingy. And we talk a lot about the offense. We talk a lot about what Seattle does with, you know, their leadership with the quarterback. But let's not take anything away from what the defense is doing. Of course, when the San Francisco 49ers played the Seahawks, you know, the 49ers found out that Richard Sherman was very much alive, getting, you know, two picks there. And so, you know, playing against the Philadelphia Eagles, very, very touted offense, a Chip Kelly offense, which, of course, I back 100%, you know, when he was at Oregon, you know, thinking that they're going to do the same thing against Seattle this past week. And you mentioned it, Sean. You mentioned it last week that, you know, Pete Carroll would probably, you know, get into Mark Sanchez's head. And I rebutted and said that Chip Kelly is, you know, a genius. And when he coached against Pete Carroll in college, that, you know, hey, Chip Kelly got the upper hand, but man, the Seattle Seahawks have definitely revved it up.
I think it's funny that everybody talks about how the offense in Seattle is their Achilles heel and they don't have receivers and yada, yada. They put up 440 yards yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, how can you have a beleaguered offense? I think the misconception is because Russell Wilson doesn't put up huge, gaudy numbers. And that they don't, you know, a lot of their players don't have, you know, Pro Bowl style numbers that the Seattle offense isn't moving. The biggest way that you can get to the opposing team is to keep their offense off of the field. The Seattle Seahawks do an excellent job in, I won't call it a ground and pound, but I can say that they do a great job of controlling time of possession. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, it goes without saying how this guy can actually take over a ball game. And as long as you can move the chains, then you're definitely going to win the game because it brings a lack of rhythm. That's one of the things that Mark Farzetta was talking about was that, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles couldn't get into that rhythm. They want to get into that rhythm, but Seattle controlled it. They controlled the time of possession, and it was just great. It was just a great game by the Hawks.
Sean, it is hot stove league time in Major League Baseball. In fact, the winter meetings are underway, and that is where you typically see a lot of action. And it looks like your Oakland A's are on the verge of another trade, which would be sending their pitcher they traded for this past summer, Jeff Samardzija, sending him back to Chicago where he came from, but not the Cubs, this time the White Sox, as is being reported by CBS Sports.
Well, we can't forget this either, Sean. So today there was a huge trade, and that trade was Brandon Moss being dealt. And so that's the third the third All-Star for my Oakland A's being dealt. And so, you know, Billy Bean is he's at it. He's one that that's by the numbers. You know, this isn't anything new, but you know, as a fan, you know, I'm like, my goodness, you know, Josh Donaldson was dealt just last week. And of course, Jonas Cespedes during the All-Star, just after the All-Star break last season, this past season, was dealt. And so, you know, Billy Bean believes that he has a plan in place. And so let's hope that this plan can get these guys back to where, you know, where they need to be. I mean, you know, the Oakland A's started strong, did some great things. You know, I happen to think that the Jeff Samardzija trade is an actual good one if you can get, you know, some good players for him. But then we're talking about Johnny Lester also, and there's a big murmurs going on that he might just stay across the bay with the Giants. And, you know, there's also some thoughts that he could sign with the Chicago Cubs as well.
Do you think that the Oakland A's can get rid of all this great talent and still be successful in 2015? I know the Billy Bean Moneyball way is to load up on young guys and prospects and have them get better in their own system, but it'd be tough on the fans to go from the playoffs to 50, 60 wins.
Yeah, I don't think the problem is putting a good product on the field for the Oakland A's. I think the problem is can you get a team fielded that can get past the first round and get to the ALCS? You know, and that seems to be the biggest deal. The Oakland A's don't have a problem with winning. They've won the AL West two out of the past 3 years, and it looked like they were going to run away with it this year. So the problem isn't the product. It's the players that are being put together for Billy Bean to actually win a World Series. And so, you know, we're always pleasantly surprised here in Northern California as far as the A's are concerned. Because let's face it, nobody expects them to do anything. You know, when you talk about the beginning of the season, you know, who do people talk about? They talk about the Los Angeles Angels. They talk about the Dodgers. They talk about the Giants. You know, they talk about the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox. They talk about the Detroit Tigers, but they never talk about the Oakland A's. So when Oakland is there in the hunt, I mean, it's always, you know, pleasant for us because we're like, hey, here's our team again, fighting and clawing. But there's going to be a point to where, you know, it might get tiresome just winning the AL West or being one of the top teams in the AL West and being outed in the first round.
And heading up I-5 in Seattle, staying in the AL West, a great week for the Mariners as contracts were signed with Wet Ink. Kyle Seager, 7 years, roughly $100 million. The homegrown kid drafted in 2009, brought up through the system, and he is sticking around and being rewarded. And then, of course, the boomstick that was welcomed by the Legion of Boom to Seattle. That would be Nelson Cruz for 4 years.
So this is one of the things that I'm definitely excited about for all the fans up in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, of course, you know, me growing up there and rooting on the Mariners for quite some time. You know, we never really, with the exception of the 95 team and that run all the way to 2001, 2002, you know, never really had a team to be put in place such as this one now. And you talked about Nelson Cruz and, of course, Robbie Cano, you know, coming to the team last year. And, you know, I'd be removed to not talk about King Felix and such a great job with the pitching staff that the Mariners are doing. This is a time to be excited about Mariners baseball. Finally, you know, of course, you know, they surprised us last year with, you know, making a strong run and almost making it to the postseason, making it interesting, with a three-team run between the Angels, the A's and the Mariners in the West. And now is the time for the Mariners to turn the corner. And I believe that ownership is doing what they need to do, opening up the wallets, trying to get the key players to play in Seattle. And, you know, with a trade or two, or maybe an acquisition, coming up here, I mean, the Mariners can do some big, big things. So definitely look out for them.
Well, Jack Z in Seattle, the GM, still needs to find a right fielder for everyday use, hopefully one that can hit, because they traded away Michael Saunders to Toronto for starter Jay Happ. So they've got two-thirds of a starting outfield right now with the return of Austin Jackson in center and Dustin Ackley in left.
So, I mean, so with that being said, who's out there as far as the, you know, the free agency is concerned, or picking up another outfielder? I mean, who's out there for the Mariners?
Well, the rumors continue to swirl that they're trying to get Matt Kemp or possibly Justin Upton, and those would be another big pricey ticket if ownership would okay the spending of that money. But it also would depend on what those teams want, and they probably want a King's ransom. And right now, Jack Z is sitting pretty because he doesn't have to trade any of his top prospects, a Taiwan Walker, a James Paxton, two up-and-coming starters that everybody wants, because he doesn't need pieces badly. He's got the Canoes. He's got Seager. He just signed Cruz to DH. So it's not like he's hamstrung, well, I have to do this to get this one person. So really, he can wait it out and see if at some point the price tag for what it would cost to trade for one of those big names, big contracts, will come down as the season gets closer.
Well, you know, there's still a lot of time before the spring training starts. And so, you know, and of course, the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland A's, for that matter, are definitely doing some wheeling and dealing in this offseason. So, you know, we look forward to, you know, the season coming up. And before you know it, you know, it'll be here, man. So I'm excited. I'm excited for both teams and what they can do.
Now, Sean, before we run here for show 82, your Raiders travel to Kansas City. Do they have a chance against the Chiefs and hopefully put together a better road effort than they did last time out in St. Louis?
Well, you know, they are winners. Get this, brace yourself. Hopefully you're sitting down here, Sean. They are winners of two of the last three games, man. So that is that's a step in the right direction. You know, it always helps to, you know, to have a victory, especially, you know, against your crosstown nemesis. And of course, that was a huge game. That was bigger than what people are trying to make it. And what I mean by that is, are the 49er fans are saying, hey, yeah, you guys treated it like the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay, if we treated it like the Super Bowl, we just beat you in the Super Bowl. The other thing is that both teams were tied coming in, and the overall record, and believe it or not, as much as San Francisco has touted their dominance in the Bay over the past few years, the Raiders still held the upper hand as far as wins and losses. But it was tied at 12 until yesterday. Now the Raiders go up 13-12 overall, and they do not get a chance to play each other for another 3 years. So you have to marinate on that as well. So the Oakland Raiders are looking a lot better. I think that they, you know, there's some things that they need to get right as far as their running game is concerned. Defense needs to fix itself. But to answer your question, as far as the Kansas City Chiefs game, who knows? You know, we talk about any given Sunday, but you can't rule out Arrowhead as being, of course, being the loudest stadium in the NFL, Sean Wally. Of course, some people up at the Clink would have something to say about that. But, you know, I think the Raiders would do well.
And, of course, those Niners heading up to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seahawks. Seattle primed, ready, looking dominant. Do the Niners have a chance?
You know, I'm right now, no. But who knows? You know, a couple of days, you know, maybe they can put something together. But, you know, but that would be slighting what the Seattle Seahawks have done over the past few weeks. And we can't do that. So, you know, right now, no. Is the spread, will the Seahawks cover the spread? You know, I don't know. I mean, double digits, that's just ridiculous when Vegas does that. Personally, I hope that it's a better game for, you know, from a spectator's perspective. But, you know, right now it just looks like the 49ers are going to go up there and get thumped like they always do. Colin Kaepernick has never done well up at the Clink. And, you know, if he ever wanted to turn things around or try to turn things around, why not do it up at CenturyLink Field up in Seattle? So, you know, let's see what kind of person this guy is made of and if he can actually roll up his sleeves and lead a team.
Sean, there are 3 weeks left in the NFL regular season. Right now, the Green Bay Packers are the number one seed in the NFC, and they are steamrolling the Atlanta Falcons Monday Night Football as we speak. With a one-game lead currently over the Seattle Seahawks, the Seahawks own the tiebreaker. Do you see any chance the Packers lose either to Buffalo, in Buffalo, at Tampa Bay, so back-to-back road games coming for the Packers, and then a final home division tilt with the Detroit Lions, and the Lions are right on the Packers' heels as well.
Well, I mean, again, there's always a chance that the Green Bay Packers can lose, but, you know, they have looked like the best team in the NFL over the past 6 weeks, you know, and, you know, if you look back at week 10, of course, that's when everything really started to where they thumped the Chicago Bears 55-14. Then they beat Philadelphia 53-20 and, you know, had a close one against Minnesota. And then they beat New England. You know, that was something that was huge. And right now they're, you know, putting a 40 burger on, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. Can it happen? Yeah, you know, two games on the road. I mean, anything can happen, you know, when you're on the road. But the biggest thing is their home record. And it looks a lot like Seattle's last year. It looks like they're going to win the game tonight against Atlanta. They have one more home game against Detroit, which is the last game of the season. If you can go 8-0 at home and then just be 500 on the road, you're doing pretty good. So that puts them at 12-4. Seattle is really hard pressed to get to that point. But, you know, who knows? I mean, it could happen.
Sean, show 82. It's been a good one as always. Hopefully the listeners out there believe the same. Thanks to Mark Farzetta joining us from the Sports Radio WIP Studios 94.1 in Philadelphia for his take and the Philly fans' take on the game between the Seahawks and the Eagles yesterday. And you and I hashing out the world of sports.
Yeah, you know, again, sending a huge shout out to Stacy and Tawny up there in the Palm Springs of Washington. Thanks for joining us on the double. You know, sending a big shout out to all the Raider Nation fans in Northern California, man. Definitely live it up. You know, it's an exciting time. Don't let anybody steal this from you. So, again, as you had mentioned, Sean Wally, Mark Farzetta from 94.1 WIP on the show. And we were going to have our second guest on the show, but, of course, he had to reschedule with us, and that was one Sydney Castillo. So for those of you who are looking to listen to Sydney Castillo, he will probably be on the show here next week. And, of course, you know, coming up, you know, we are going to have more exciting guests for you. And we're going to talk some great things. And, you know, again, sending a shout out to my boy Yogi Roth. And again, for those of you who haven't had the chance, go to yogiroth.com and see some of the interesting things that he is doing humanitarian wise. Show number 82 in the book, Sean Wally.
Yeah, Sean, one more thing. Just want to send a great shout out. Don't know if you saw it on Twitter or those of you that follow us on Twitter at Double S Express. please do follow us. My cousin and her son, and actually my cousin and her husband, Aaron, Adam, and their son Julian, are down in Walt Disney World right now. What a great vacation, great time of year. And they are repping the 12s, the 12th man. They've got the 12th man flag with Seahawks shirts on with Mickey Mouse. It's just awesome that the 12th man is repping down with the Magic Kingdom and Mickey Mouse.
Man, you can't go wrong with Mickey Mouse, man. So, yeah, hopefully you guys are down there having fun. And of course, you know, avid listeners of On the Double with the Double S Express. Show number 82 in the books, Mr. Wally. It's been a great one here for Sean Wally. I'm Sean Boyd, Don Newsom, the engineer. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.